fellowship hall's about finished, you know, bringing things to a close, hopefully. So we need to, if we're going to have a Bible conference or revival or Thanksgiving service, you know, we need to be thinking on that. We're going to have one. When we're going to do it? We're going to do it in October. We're going to do it in December. Something we need to start thinking of, because if we're going to invite several preachers, we need to give them a heads up notice. So something we can start meditating on, thinking about. Number 10.
On the benches cleft for me, let me hide myself with thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side flow. Be of sin the double tear, save from doubt and make me pure. Could my tears forever flow? Could my sleep no longer know? These for sin could not atone.
Page Amazing Grace. Page 203. Amazing Grace, how sweet it sounds. Let's sing just the first four verses, and then after Brother Charlie preaches, we'll finish it up. We'll sing 5, 6, and 7. Page, 203, we'll sing 1 through 4. Let's all stand and stretch. Maybe we'll sing a little louder.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many days, toils and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me, saved us from, and grace that bring me home. When we've been there,
y'all are here this morning, and I'm not superstitious. I didn't come up on the wrong side. But I am glad you're here. I'm glad that God is blessing us. I'm glad that God is sustaining us. And I'm thankful for all the things that God is doing in and around us. And this morning, I would like to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. God was trying to put me, and I probably should be there, in another place. But I need more study in that area before I continue. So I want to be more studied in that spot than to just spout off what I think or what I think I think or something like that. So this morning I want to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have the treasure of in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, yet not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifested in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith according to the writing, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which we are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning for the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you for your mercies and your grace and all the things that you pour down on us, all the effectual stuff that you do for us. Lord, we just thank you that we're able to be in this building. We're able to worship you. We're able to praise you because of what Christ has done for us. Lord, we just thank you that you would hide me behind the cross of Jesus Christ, that you would give me the words that you would have me to say this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, and this is an apostle writing this thing, but seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. In other words, even us, as people who proclaim the gospel of God, as ones who proclaim the goodness of God and the mercy of God and the things that God has done for us, we make sure we understand that we have done this because we have received mercy. And because we have received mercy, we preach about the mercy of God. We preach about the strength of God. And we faint not in the acknowledgement of the fact that God has been merciful unto us. Now, while we preach God for mercy to take place, we also know that judgment also takes place. So, while we preach the mercy of God, we're elaborating the fact that there is a judgment of God also. It says, seeing that we have this ministry, that we receive mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. I'm not here to try to trick you into becoming a Christian. I'm not here trying to get you to say a magic prayer to get you to become a Christian. In fact, that'd be the farthest thing from my heart. If God has not saved you, I don't want you to come up here and do anything. The thing is, I have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking after craftiness, not handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience. In other words, I preach the gospel of God that God will work on your heart, that God will deal with your heart. I'm not here to try to make it sound better like DePlantis that was mentioned earlier, or some of these other guys. I'm not here to make it sound like you have the power over God to get your God to do something, but the fact that you humble yourself to the living and true God who truly does exist. It says, I'm not here to use dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. I'm not trying to get you to do any rituals or any fables or anything like that to get you to become a Christian. I just want to give you the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. It says here, not handling the word deceitfully, by manifesting the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. I'm not here to even lord over you. It's not my job to lord over you. God is your Lord. God is your deliverer. God is the one that leads and guides you in your walk with Christ. God is the one who shows you if you're getting out of whack or if you're getting in whack or whichever way you may be going. It is God that deals with your conscience and God that deals with your soul and God that deals with your heart. All I'm to do is present the gospel and tell you what God's Word says. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that is lost. And I would like to elaborate right here that there are two types of lost people. There are those who are God's sheep that are lost because He hasn't brought them back into the fold yet. They're out there. He knows who they are. He knows where they are. He knows what they are. And then there are those people that are lost that will never be saved because they were never in God's fold. They were never in God's sheep. So it says here, if our gospel be hid as God, this chapter says, if our gospel be hid as hid to them that are lost, in other words, those who are lost, being deceived by the devil, being deceived by their own deceitfulness, being deceived by their own lust, being deceived by their own stuff, in whom the God of this world hath hidden, blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the glorious gospel of Christ and the image of God should shine upon them. Unless the truth was out there. We remember the sowers and the soils and stuff like that. The seed was thrown in the rocky place, and the seed was thrown in the good place, and the seed was thrown in the thorny places. And the good ground received the seed and grew and made fruit. And then there were some of those that got the seed, and they were joyful in the seed, but because there was no root in them, being in Christ, they withered away soon and died. Out of those four groups of dirts, only one was saved. Some of them enjoyed the things of God. Some of them enjoyed the things of being religious. Some of them enjoyed the things of going to church. But they never had the root of Jesus Christ applied. It says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. If you're an unbeliever right now, you are deceived. If you're an unbeliever right now, the glory of God is hid from you. The glory of God is away from you. It says, you have been blinded by Satan himself and even your own lust. It says, in whom the God of this world, that is Satan if you don't know that, have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light. They hear the gospel. They hear the truth of God. They hear the words of God. They hear everything that's good about God. And yet because they are blinded and God has not opened their eyes and their ears and their hearts to hear this, they continue to stay blinded. It says, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them, unto them. It says, unless God does a work. They will continue to hear the story. They will continue to hear the gospel. They will continue to hear about Christ. They will continue to hear about Him dying on the cross. They will continue to hear about that He raised from the dead. They will continue to hear that He's our eternal priest. And they will not be saved unless God has opened their hearts and their eyes and their ears to hear this gospel. For we preach not ourselves. I didn't come here to preach Charlie. That would do you no good. Any wisdom that I have, the only thing that I have to attribute to God Himself and the light that He Himself has given me, because teaching you about me won't help you. And my job is to tell you about, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. He's not just a little Christ. He's not just a little Jesus. He's not just a man that walked. He is the Lord. And ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. Yeah. What I do is because I am a servant of Christ. I'm a bondman to Christ. I owe all I owe to Christ, and yet I can never pay Him back. Right. There's nothing that I could do that would pay Him back for what He has done for me. For God, who commanded the light, that's why I'm here now. God commanded the light one day at a point from the foundation of the world, before the world began. God had said He was going to choose to save Charlie. I don't know why. I don't understand why. But He says, but for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. That's where I was. That's where all lost people are. They're in darkness. The light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts, if you're a believer here this morning, if you're saved, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. It says, God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts, in our souls. He is the one who has sent the Spirit to quicken us. He's the one who has sent the Spirit to waken us up. He is the one that has shined in our heart to make us see just how vile and undone we were. All the things the devil tried to hide from us. All the things the devil tried to deceive us with. It says, God commanded the light to shine in our, out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's not in somebody else. It's only in Jesus Christ. It's only in what the work of Christ has done. It's not, yes, I believe in God. If you just have God the Father who you believe in and you reject the Son, you will split hell wide open. Because God says, this is My Son. This is My beloved Son. Hear ye Him. Believe ye Him. It says, don't just believe in God, but believe in Him. It says that the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the glory of God manifested in the flesh, walking on this earth, holy and pure and righteous, and everything that is that we can't be. He never once sinned. He never once stumbled. He never once had to say, oh, I messed up. He never said a single word that was out of line. Even when He was throwing folks out of the temple, He did everything to the glory of God the Father. He never once turned from His direction of going. He came here with His mind and His eyes and His heart set on going to Calvary. He came here with His heart set on doing the will of God the Father. Not once has any man ever done that other than Christ. Not once is any man ever going to be able to do that other than Christ. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He did that for us. He put that in us. He's the one that opened our eyes and hearts and ears to the Word of God. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And let's talk about this body. This is an earthen vessel. It's this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. What He has done in me is actually invisible, other than my proclaiming it, other than my acknowledging it, other than the fact that you can look at any man in the world and you cannot just say, that man's saved and that man's not. But this treasure that we have in earthen vessels, this treasure of salvation, this treasure of the excellency of God, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. If I have anything to boast about in my salvation, if I have anything to boast about, it's in the thing that Christ has done for me, not me doing something for Him. It says here, this excellency that I have is of the power of God. It is of the doing of God. It is of the glory of God. If I preach the gospel, it's because God has changed me. Not me changing me or God changing me, me changing God, but God has changed me. That it's the glory of God and not of us. We sit around so much and we get all full of ourselves. And say, oh man, I'm just so into this thing. Man, I read my Bible, blah, blah, blah. I do all this. I study all these great preachers and teachers and stuff like that. Well, if you did any of that stuff, it's because God has put it in your heart to do it. Because if God didn't put it in your heart, you would never have done it. You would not put yourself through that kind of study unless God has put it on your heart to study it. You just don't do it. You don't want to be a doctor unless you're ready to study to be a doctor. You don't want to be a lawyer unless you're ready to put you get into books and do it. Unless your mind is set on what you're trying to do, you don't just do it. So if you're studying about the Word of God, you're studying the Word of God through and through and trying to work it all out and get it all done, that's because God has put it in your heart to do these things. I'm not saying don't do it, because I'm saying read your Bible anyways. Don't misunderstand me. Read your Bible anyways till God clicks. But I'm thinking, if you study, if you read your whole thing through and through and through and through and through and keep reading it through and through and through, God has put it in your heart to learn more and learn more and learn more. We are troubled on every side. If you're a Christian walking in the walk of Christ, if you were an apostle back then, everywhere they went, they were bringing a new doctrine to people who had never heard it before. Everywhere that the Christians went, as the apostles went, they were teaching this Jesus. They were teaching this resurrection from the dead. They were teaching this, there's a God above all the kings and queens and everything above this world. They were teaching this new thing to people, and it meant that God had to deal with people to get them to say, man, that sounds great. I believe that. I like that. It says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Look, we are going through this world teaching and telling people about Jesus, but I'm not distressed in the fact that I do that, because I understand that my end is okay. My destination is planned. My end up is in the right place. Regardless of how this goes, if I get killed out there for preaching the gospel, or get run over going back and forth to the jailhouse for preaching the gospel, my end is settled. I am distressed, but I am not. I am perplexed, but I'm not distressed. Perplexed, but not in despair. I'm not in despair because of the fact that I know my hope. I know the one who died for me. I know the one who rose for me. I know the one that's seated in the heavens making intercession for me. He has never failed. He will never fail. My hope is in Jesus Christ, the rock of my salvation. And rock means you couldn't beat it out of Him. He's got it. He's solid. He's strong. He's all power. He's all might. He says, persecuted but not forsaken. I may go through some stuff. You may go through some stuff. But Jesus Christ will never, ever leave you. In fact, when He trains us through, some of the things we think we're being messed up about, it's Him trying to check us out and see how faithful we'll stay, how strong we will stay, how well we will go through these things. Every one of us, whether it be through what Lucia's going through, or what my father's going through, or my sister's going through, or anybody else is going through, all these things are a way that God works things out for His glory, for His honor, for His benefit. Persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. I will not be destroyed by this world, because God has said He will raise me up again at the end. Yeah. If Christ is risen, I will rise also. Amen. You may kill me. You may shut my mouth. But you can't stop the operation of God. I will rise again. Amen. Always bearing about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus. Always. And he's talking about the apostles here mostly, but he says those guys were killed. Those guys were had their heads cut off. Those guys had spears run through them. Those guys were hung on crosses Those guys were boiled in oil at one time, some of them. It says these guys burying about in their bodies. And some of the earlier Christians were burned at the stake and fed to the lions and sawed asunder and all those things. These folks that went before us, it says they were persecuted. They were burying about in their bodies the dying of our Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. We can manifest, show the manifestation of the light of Christ in our body by living that godly life, by always trusting in God, by always being obedient to God's Word, by always showing what He has done in us and through us for His glory. For we which live are always delivered unto death. That don't sound too fun. We that live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our mortal flesh. There have been loads and loads and loads of people who have died for Jesus' sake. Many missionaries have died trying to do the work of Christ. Many missionaries have died out there proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Death is coming. Death will come. Death will come on all men, because all men are sinners. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus might be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. If I work this thing out, preaching the gospel, death worketh in me. But if you receive the gospel, life in you. Life in you. It says, for we have the same spirit of faith. This means the fact that every single believer has the same spirit of faith, has been given the same grace, the same faith to believe in Jesus Christ. I didn't get a different faith than you, and you didn't get a different faith than me. And if you're believing a faith different than what I am, then you don't have what I got. It says, for we have the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken, and also we also believe and therefore speak. I believe because I have heard the gospel. I speak the gospel because God has put it in my heart to believe the gospel, and I speak according to what I believe. And the fact that Jesus Christ paid for my sin debt in whole. The fact that Jesus Christ did it all. I don't owe any extra. I don't have to do any extra. I don't have to add to what He's done. That would be so disrespectful. Could I say it that way? For me to say, Jesus, I know you did all this stuff, but look, I'm going to help you a little bit. No, He covered it. Every single part of it. He says, we have the same spirit of faith according as it's written, knowing, I speak as I believe, therefore I speak, knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus, God Himself raised up Jesus Christ, shall raise us up also by Jesus Christ, and shall present us with you. In other words, there's going to be a day when all the saints will rise. All the saints will rise by the power of Jesus Christ, and everyone who is a saint will be presented together at one presentation with you. We'll all be. Nobody's going to get there ahead of the other. Nobody's going to get. That's when it talks about the ones who are dead. They will not prevent us, and we will not prevent them. They will be raised up from the grave. I'm saying up here 6 foot higher. And we shall all be changed. We shall all move up. We shall all meet with Him in the air together. Yeah. None of us will be left behind. All the ones who are believers in Jesus Christ, who are saved by the grace of God, we will all stand in the presence of God at the very same time. Now, that's not saying that the spirit of those that are dead are not with Christ right now, but I'm going to say the body's still in the ground. But there will be a day when their body will be changed, when our bodies will be changed, and together we shall all be with Christ. For all things are for your sakes. Look, This is not a beat you up thing. This is for your sake. This is for your wealth. This is for your well-being. All these things are done for your benefit. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, rebound unto the glory of God. When we send out missionaries, when we send out people, when we put our money in the pot to take care of things, when we pray earnestly as a group for something that's happening somewhere that we don't even see, it says here, for all things for your sake, that the abundance of grace might be, through the thanksgiving of many, rebound unto the glory of God. We sit here as a church and we pray for Raul and them. We sit here as a church and we pray for Frank James and them. We sit here as a church and we pray for Dan and Sonny. We sit here as a church and we pray for them that they may have abundant grace, that they may have abundant work, and that God's glory will be in all these places. I didn't say they'd get a whole flock of new people, which would be a fabulous thing, and God would get the glory for that. But what I'm saying is that regardless if somebody gets saved or if somebody don't get saved, God gets the glory and the work that's being done. Because they're preaching the truth. They're preaching the grace of God, and it's God who gives the increase. Never has a man gave the increase. It is God that gives the increase. It is God that puts you in the church. It is God that does all the work. That it be for the glory of God. You see, even in Revelation, when it talks about casting those who never believed into the lake of fire, even at that point, God gets glory. Man. And we're going to be there cheering and saying, "You get them, God. Praise God. Glory to God. For which cause we faint not." You see, there's no need in us fainting because we know our end. There's no need in us giving up because we know our end. There's no need in us caving in and saying, "Oh, it's too hard." I did that yesterday. It was too hard. But today, I'm refreshed again. Today, I'm back at it. For this cause we faint not. But through our outward man, though our outward man perish, and you, if you're getting better as you get older, you let me know because I want what you got. Right. I mean, if y'all getting where y'all can jump higher and run faster the older y'all get, I want a little bit of that. It says, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Amen. Every day, God gives me more abundant mercy. Every day, God gives me more grace. Every day, God strengthens me more and more and more. While I see my feebleness, believe me, I do. And if you're getting older, you're seeing your feebleness too. I have to trust in God. I hate to say it that way, but I have to trust in God because I can't do what I used to do. I have to depend on God to do it all because I am weak in the flesh. It says, we faint not. But though our outward man perish, you're going to die. You're going to go meet your Maker. You're going to, unless the rapture takes place pretty quick, some of us guys are getting close to being there. We're going to die. We're going to get weaker. We're going to get less able. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed. The inward man. By putting our trust. Every day as we see things going on, it is a lot easier to trust God. It's a lot easier to say, "God, you've said it. It's settled. I'm with you." It says, for our light affliction. Have you thought about that? Man, I ain't never thought about my afflictions as being like, man, they're persecuting me. They're hurting me. This stuff is tough.
Yeah.
And yet God says, Paul says here, for our light afflictions. Well, things that we think are just wearing us down and tearing us up, he says are but light afflictions. Well, I hate to say that to you, Lucian. It's just a light affliction, brother. For our light afflictions is but for a moment. A moment, brother, and it's going to be gone. But for a moment worketh for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. If we go through these light afflictions by giving God glory, by giving God honor, by giving God what He's due. He says, these things work out for an eternal weight in glory, our light afflictions. I know nobody thinks about what they're going through as a light affliction, but God says, for our light affliction. These are just for a moment. The things that I'm going, life is just for a moment. It's just a vapor, and it's gone. So if we're going through something for 6 months or a year or whatever, that's even a light affliction. While we look not at the things that which are seen, we spend so much time looking at the things we see. Oh my, this is going on, and man, this is broke, and this is tore up, and this is that, and that's over there. He says, for we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Now, I understand that we work in this world. We live in this world. We have to act in this world. But my mindset is not on this world. This world is not my home. I am only passing through. I am heading to another place. It says here, while I look at the things which are seen, not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. I'm looking to see Jesus Christ face to face.
Yeah.
While I have Him here, while His Spirit is here, and my mind is set on Him, I have not seen Him with my eyes. I have not seen Him face to face yet. But I'm looking for that day. For the things which are seen are temporal. All this stuff out here that we hang on to, all this stuff out here that we take such pride in and such brag about and talk about, oh, look what I got. I got all this and I got all that. All those things one day will burn up and burn off and go away. But the things which are not seen are eternal. It says, lay up your treasures in heaven where moth and rust and stuff can't take care of it. Put your thoughts and your heart's desires on things in heaven. If I hang on to stuff here, and I'm not willing to give to the cause of Christ, I'm not willing to give to the things of God, I'm not, oh, this is all mine, I got it, then I'm looking at the things of here. But if I'm willing to say, you're hungry, and have one. Or if you're going to send a missionary off to spread the gospel somewhere, let me help that cause. Let me help this cause for Christ. If I'm willing to give of myself. In fact, Jesus says, if I lose my life for His sake, I will gain life. Man, we need to be understanding that if we what we give up for Christ is not a lost day. It's not a lost thing. It's not something that we just don't get back. But it's setting up ahead of us in heaven. And when we get there, those things that we have given up, those things that we have suffered through, the things that we have done for Christ, which nobody saw, nobody recognized, nobody paid attention to. Well, sometimes we say, oh Lord, they don't ever see what I do, blah, 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 but I do this, do that. Those things are laid up. Christ has not missed a one of them. Christ has seen every bit of it. Our treasure, when we pay our tithes, when we do our offerings, when we do whatever we do for God, and that we say, well, nobody knows what I do. I want you to understand, Christ sees every bit of it. He has not missed one little teeny bit. There hadn't been one day of service done here that Christ hasn't seen. It says, but I need to be the things which are not seen are eternal. I need to make sure that the things that I have not seen, those are eternal. Those are forever. Those will always continue because they're in Christ. They are in God Himself. I would say this morning, if God has moved you, if God has showed you your need, that this morning you would put your faith and trust in Him. I would say that if you know the truth and truth of Jesus, it's a good time to proclaim it. You see, because the devil would like for you to stay shut up. The devil would like for you to stay blinded. The devil would like for you to keep falling after your own lust and your own pride and your own stuff. In fact, not only the devil would, but if you have no heart for God, your heart would do that also. But if God has so showed you your sinfulness, if God has so shown you your need of salvation, then this morning would be a great time to tell somebody about it. This morning would be a great time to profess Jesus Christ. Not that He's Jesus Christ, but that He has saved you. And not you yourself. That He has opened your eyes to your need and not you yourself. This morning, if God has called you, come forward when the still starts. But all these things are not for us to brag about. These are not for us to put stars on the wall about look at where I am, but it's about putting Jesus Christ above and beyond all things, higher than everything that we do. If we're going to glory, let's glory in Jesus Christ and not in us. All right, brother.
Turn back to page 203. We'll finish up Amazing Grace. Let's all stand. We'll sing verses 5, 6, and 7. Amazing Grace.